We begin the new Masech. The Masech is Rosh Hashanah. We begin on Daf Beis. The Masech opens up, Masech is Rosh Hashanah, with Perek Arba Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of this Masech begins, and the majority of Masech talks about Rosh Hashanah. Now, the concept of Rosh Hashanah means the beginning of the year. So our Mishnah opens up with four different types of Rosh Hashanahs, depending on what we're talking about, what area of Halacha, there will be a different Rosh Hashanah, a different beginning of that year. Now, related to that is the Rosh Hashanah that people commonly call Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of Tishrei, which then segues into the concept about when is the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and how do people know which is the proper day? Because the way they used to start the month would be based on Kiddush HaChodesh, that they had to, two Eidim, two witnesses had to see when the would be the new moon. That would define that the month is beginning. And up until they have that clarification with Eidim coming to Bezin, it's not yet designated as the month, thereby defining if the previous month is a 30-day or a 29-day month, depending is day 30 from the previous, or is it actually day one of the new month. So therefore, that leads into the discussion of when they would have to send out different messengers to those far away from where Bezin was in the Beis HaMikdash to get the message out when is the appropriate day, when is the Yom Tov going to be, which they had to do with an El for when Rosh Hashanah would be. And therefore, the first two Parakim talk a lot about the halachas of Kiddush HaChodesh, because that relates to when the Yom Tov is actually going to be. That's the first two Parakim. And then the remainder of the Masechta talks about the specifics of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, the different Shaifras, and so on. So our Mishnah begins with Arba Rosh Hashanah. There are four different beginnings of the year, again, depending on what the halacha we're talking about. So the first Rosh Hashanah is Be'echad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. The first of Nisan is the beginning of the year for the kings, and that is the way they commonly would write their dates on their documents would be based on the year of that king, how many years he's been as the king. As the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, that's because of for the relationships with the king, that to write their dates based on how many years the king is alive. So on that, the Chacham had designated that the beginning of the year for that king starts with the year of Nisan. Now, for example, if let's say he became king in Shvat or Adar, so once it gets to the first of Nisan, that's the end of year number one, and then begins year number two. And as the Gemara will explain, why do we need this uniformity for all the kings that the designation of the next year begins in the first of Nisan? But that would be, again, it's the Rosh Hashanah for the kings. What is the year of his reign beginning on the next year starts in the Rosh Chodesh Nisan? And another thing that's the Rosh Hashanah for them is the first of Nisan. It's Velur Golem. It's for Yom Tov, which the Gemara and Daf Dal will explain. What does that mean? That the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tov. The second Rosh Hashanah is Be'echad Be'el, on the first day of El, is Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behema. That is the beginning of the year for the tenth of the tithes that one has to give from his animals. That is, from the animals that are born this year, there has to be a separation. One cannot give a tenth, including those animals which are born in the previous year. As the Pasuk says, the Devarim Yedal, it says, Asa ta'a, so you have to give Meiser. As called Tvua Zaracha Hayitza Asa, the Shana Shana, which means that each year has to be independent Meisers. You can't mix 2 years together and give a tenth from all that together. Now the Gemara Masechtas Bacharis explains that their Pasuk is talking about two different Meisers, which one is for, as the Pasuk saying, with Meiser Dagan, which is the grain you have to give Meisers, but then the animals also you have to give Meiser, which is called Meiser Behema. And that is, the cutoff date is the first of El, that begins the new year, because the years cannot be mixed together. However, Belaz, Reb Shimon, Imrim, they argue on this second category of the Rosh Hashanah being the first of El, as Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behema. They say, Be'echad B'Tishrei, no, they say that Ma'aseh Behema, the cutoff, is not the first of El, but rather the first of Tishrei. Which then takes us into the third Rosh Hashanah that we're talking about, which is also, according to their opinion, and according to everyone, it's the first of Tishrei. Just there, they would include also Ma'aseh Behema in this list, which is Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, is going to be the Rosh Hashanah for the following things. L'shanah, for the years, which the Gemara Daf Ches will explain what does that mean, it's Rosh Hashanah for years. V'l'shmita m'l'yavolis, for Shemitah and for Yovel, which the Torah forbids planting and plowing and all the different works for the fields, every 7 years, which is called Shemitah, every 50 years, which is called Yovel. So when it comes in the first of Tishrei, then that is the chalos, that's when it already begins. Shemitah and Yovel, the planting and plowing is forbidden already. L'netia, for saplings, which means to say for the counting of the years of Arla, and that is a tree, for the first 3 years, its produce is forbidden to have anah from, it's considered Arla, and that begins on the first of Tishrei, which that would mean, if let's say it was planted in Av, so then the year ends at the end of El, And then it begins a new year, no matter when it was planted, it begins a new year in the first of Tishrei. And then we'll explain the reason for all these things, why these are their Rosh Hashanahs. Then, v'liyirakas is another thing that the first of Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah for, are for vegetables, for herbs, with what, that's what's called Maisi Yerek, which is the tithes that have to be taken off for vegetables, where their Trumas and Maisis cannot be also for things that were gathered before Rosh Hashanah, for the year coming after Rosh Hashanah. So we're saying that it's Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of its year is the first of Tishrei, and therefore it's important to know that cutoff line, because you can't mix them with their Maisis. Now, the fourth one, the fourth category, the fourth Rosh Hashanah is Be'echad B'Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam. The first of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for trees, and that's regarding also the halacha of maisers of fruits that grow on trees, where the maiser of fruits that grow on trees, their cutoff is based on what's called Chanata, which is the maturation, it's the ripening, the blossoming of the fruit, where if we have one that was Chanat before Shvat and one after Shvat, that they cannot be mixed together, and that's because, as we explained, by tree it's different than other types, which are by when they're gathered. By a tree, it's based on when it ripens, as the Gemara will explain, why is it necessarily the first of Shvat, but that's what the Mishnah says. Kedivri Bishamai, this is the opinion of Bishamai, that it's the first of Shvat that's going to be the new year for the Maaseh Ilan, if that's when it blossomed. However, Beisil and Beisil argue, and they say Bechamisha Asar, but it's actually the 15th of Shvat, which is commonly known as Tu B'Shvat, Tu is Tezvav, which is the 15th of Shvat. Those are the four Rosh Hashanahs our Mishnah spoke about. We have the first of Nisan, which is the Rosh Hashanah for kings and for Yom Tovim. We have the first of El, according to one opinion, which is for Maaseh Behema. We have another opinion that doesn't hold, it's on El. We have that it's on Tishrei. Then we have the first of Tishrei being Rosh Hashanah for the years, which the Gemara will explain what that is, for Shemitah and Yovel, and for saplings, and for the vegetables for their Maaseh. And then we have regarding either it being the first of Shvat or Tu B'Shvat for being the Rosh Hashanah for trees. If it has blossomed by this time, then it's from the coming year's Maaseh. Now the Gemara asked regarding the first Rosh Hashanah that we spoke about in the Mishnah, that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the kings. So the Gemara asks, L'malachim, regarding that we're saying that, as we said in the Mishnah, that the dating of their contracts would be based on the reign of those kings to know what year was and when it was. So he said that the Nisan, the first of Nisan, will be the new year. So now the Gemara asks, L'mai Hilchasa, for what practical halachic ramifications was it necessary? In other words, why did we have to make a specific date, which is always going to be the next year of their king? Why couldn't we just say that every single king, the day that he begins his reign, is the beginning of the year of his reign? And then when it reaches that next year at that same time, begins year two. Why is it that no matter when he becomes king, even in Adar, a few days later when it becomes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then it suddenly becomes year number two? Why was it necessary that uniformity for halacha? So that Rav Chizr explains lishtars, actually necessary for legal documents, which is we have to be able to differentiate between what's called a shtar chayiv muktam, which is a loan document which has been predated for when the loan was, and which one is actually written post-dated, which one is written later than actually when the loan happened. So now, like we learned in Mishnah Masechet Shviyos in the 10th parak, where it explains that there is a big difference that when this document was written and signed as the date in relation to when the actual loan happened. Because shitri chayiv hamukdamin psulin, if there was a loan document that was predated to when the loan happened, the entire document is invalidated. Because essentially what happens is when someone wants to write a date earlier than when it happened, is that he wants to be able to get the claim that he has against the borrower from those people that purchase fields from him from an earlier date from when it was written in the document. And what essentially it is that when someone takes out a loan, so then he becomes obligated with all his possessions to the lender. Now, if someone after the loan purchases some of his possessions, those were already what's called meshubid, they were already obligated to the lender. Now, when this guy purchases, if the borrower defaults on the loan, he can then go ahead and collect from those who had purchased those properties. Now, if let's say the loan is at a certain date and it was written a few months before, if in between that time period purchases had been done, which were really before the loan, and really the loan happened after, but he's writing the loan happened a few months earlier, which then makes that those purchases had been done after, at least the way it's written in the document, then he's going to be able to try to get the default of the loan from those people that purchased, which is obviously not correct because he's making the date of the loan before the actual date of the sale, and that's what's written inside the document. Now, because this person is lying on the dating of the document, So the Chacham penalized him and said that, you know what, you can't collect at all with this document, even from the actual date when the loan happened. Now, essentially what that means is there's two types of loans. There's a milva al peh, which is an oral loan, which that only allows someone to get from what's called nechasa b'nei chayrin, which means, say, from free properties, which means, say, those which the borrower still has, since he did take a loan, so whatever he has is mishubit to the lender, it's indebted to him. But however, minechasa mishubadim, from those which have already been sold out to other people, that even though if they're sold after the loan, but since it wasn't documented in a document, and therefore there's no koil, people don't know about it, therefore they're not responsible if he defaults, that you could be able to go collect from them. And therefore, essentially what happens is that since you predated the document, you can't even collect from when the loan happened, which means, say, if even someone purchased from him after the date of the loan, since it's as if there's no document here, it's only considered an oral loan, you can't collect from anybody but the person himself. Now, the explanation is as follows. If we wouldn't write a specific date when every year the king is going to be the next year, as we're doing it with Nisan, rather every single king according to the date that he began his reign, then we wouldn't be able to necessarily differentiate what would be a shtar muktim, a predated shtar and therefore invalid, or a shtar merucha, where, as the Gemara explained, v'amocharin ksherin, the post-dated documents, they're okay, they're kosher. You're not doing anything that's lie. You're actually just making it worse for yourself. And therefore, those are kosher, and therefore there would be a big difference to know if it's predated or postdated, and we wouldn't be able to know the difference. For example, let's say it's written in the document that the loan happened in Kislev in the third year, in this king's reign, that this person borrowed from this person among a certain amount of money. Now, the witnesses say that when we actually signed the document, we didn't see the loan happen because he just told us, sign for me that I'm responsible, that I owe this person such a loan. Which actually the Gemara Baba Basra says, you're allowed to do that. You can't do it for the lender because you don't know that he actually owes them and you're signing to it. But if the borrower says, sign this document that I owe him money, they can go ahead and do that, even though the lender is not there. Now, on that they said, we don't know if the loan happened before the document was written or after the document was written. But one thing we do know is that we saw that he borrowed this money from him in Tammuz in the third year of this king's reign. Now, if the judges don't know in which month this king took reign, then we wouldn't be able to differentiate if Tammuz is before Kislev or if Kislev is before Tammuz. And that is, if the year of this king's reign happened between Tammuz and the following Kislev, so it comes out that Kislev is actually before Tammuz in all the years, because it depends when he begins his reign. And therefore, that would be a shtar muktim. That means it was predated. However, if he became king between Kislev and Tammuz, and Tammuz is after that, so it comes out that Tammuz is before Kislev every year, because that comes out Tammuz was first in his reign. And that comes out that actually in this case, it would be a shtar muktim, it would be a post-dated, and it would be kosher. Now, that would be problematic, because we wouldn't know necessarily when he began his reign. Maybe it's in the 18th year of his reign. We don't know exactly when that happened. And we're going to be in this quandary if it's kosher because it's shtar melacha, or if it's not, then he can't get from anybody. Now, once we designated that Rosh Chodesh Nisan will be the Rosh Hashanah for the documents, in other words, for dating of the kings, now we always know that Tammuz comes before Kislev because you go in the order. Nisan is even Tammuz of El Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. So you know that Tammuz comes before Kislev and you'll be able to know when it was. If they said that it was signed Kislev, but we saw it was in Tammuz, then we're going to know that it was a shtar mo'ocher, because Tammuz comes before Kislev, and therefore it's going to be kosher. But that's why we went ahead and we made certain dates that are always going to be Nisan, so that we'll know which month came before the other one, and we'll know if it's shtar muktim or shtar mo'ocher. Now the Gemara expounds on this by being a b'raisa. Talk about within the b'raisa. Melech she'omed be'eser mitisha ba'adar. If a king began his reign in the 29th of Adar. Now, kivin shegi echad b'nisan, comes a day later, becomes the first of Nisan. Also leishana, it's considered, in other words, he has concluded his previous year, and now we begin year number two, as we explained, that's the cutoff. At first of Nisan begins the second year, begins the next year of the king's reign. However, ve'im lo yomed el be'echad b'nisan, if he only became king on the first of Nisan, then e'imayin en le'shana atshigi nisan achad, then we only count the year being completed to start year number two, a whole year later until the first of Nisan. Now the Gemara discusses this b'raisa. Amama, the Tana of the b'raisa said that melech she'omed be'esem en tisha ba'adav, if he began his reign, the king, in the 29th of Adar, Kivin Shagi Echav Nisan said once it gets even the next day, the first of Nisan, also Loishana, it's counted as a year. So what's the chiddush in that? So the Gemara says, ha, and we continue on Tamid Beis, Kamash Mond is actually teaching us that, as we said in our Mishnah, that first of all, the Nisan Rishon L'Malachim, that Nisan is the Rishon, it's the new year, in other words, begins year number two for the kings. But moreover is that B'yom Echad B'Shana Chashav Shana. We're teaching that even one day in the year is already considered a year, because since it was already one day, and now you're beginning a new year, so that's why it's being counted as 2 years. Now, the second half of the Braisa said, but V'im Lo Yomer El B'Echad B'Nisan, but if you only became king on the first of Nisan, so Ein Mayin L'Shana Atshei Gi Nisan Acha, then you could only count it as a year to start year number two, and it gets the whole cycle of the year till the next first of the Nisan. Now, that the Gemara is pshita, it's pretty obvious. I mean, we know that that's the cutoff, so why would we have to say this? So the Gemara says, Leit Tzricha, actually, the Imnu Alev, we're talking about where the body that decides who's going to be king, they had already decided and concluded in that he's going to be king, Mi Adar, from already Adar. Now, Ma'adar Tema Nimnu Leitart Nishin, so we would think to say that, therefore, in Adar already, that was already the beginning of his reign, because they already had decided, they voted he's going to be king, and therefore, although he was only inaugurated on the first of Nisan, that would already be year number two. Kamash Mon, that's the Chiddush, even if they decide until he actually begins his reign, if it's only on the first of Nisan, he'll have to wait a whole nother year until he counts in the year number two. The Gemara brings a similar Braisa. Turn around, learn the Braisa. Meis ba'adr. If the king that was up until now reigning, he dies in Adar. V'amad echar tacht ba'adr. Now a new king starts beginning his reign in that same month of Adar. So that the Braisa says, Meinen shana lezeh lezeh. You could count that year for either one of these kings. In other words, if someone's coming to write a document in that Adar, after the new king, the second king, already began his reign, if he wants to, he could write that on the document, this is how many years it is for the king that died. He could write those kings, the years of that king. Or if he wants, he could write that this is the first year of this king. In other words, for the king that just took over now, he could choose whichever one he wants, because they both were kings in that Adar. Meis ben Nisan. If let's say the first king died in Nisan, V'amad achar tacht b'Nisan, and a new king now took over the reign in that same month of Nisan. Now, as Rashi explains, actually, this would be the same for any one of the months until the coming Nisan, where then you'd be able to count in the documents from the new king or the last king, because it's all in that same year. But either way, you can count that year for whichever king you want to, and that is, if you want to, you can count for the years of the first king who died, or if you want, you can count for the years of the second king for when he began his reign. Now, Meis ba'adr, however, if the first one died in Adar, V'amar achar tachta b'nisan, a new king began his reign in Nisan, then Meinin Rishon l'Rishon b'shnei l'shnei. Then you begin, you would only be able to count the first one, that of Adar, for the first king, and the second one, meaning Nisan, for the second king. Because if you're coming to write from when the new king already took over, then you can't write that second year for the first king who had died, because he never made it to that year. And if you're writing from the first month, that of Adar, you can't write the second king, because the second year is really the first year of the second king. So that would be the difference. If one dies in Adar and the other one dies in Nisan, you can't use either month for either one. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. So Amma, the time of the Braisa said, Meis ba'adr, if the first king dies in Adar, V'amen achar tacht ba'adr, and the new king takes over in Adar, so Meinu Shon Lazel, you can count this month for either king, because each one was a king in this month. So the Gemara says, that's pretty obvious. Why would you not be able to? So that the Gemara says, Ma'adu tema shas lebe trei lemanin, and you would think that no, we can't count a year for two different kings, and therefore, since this first king who died made it at least even one day into this year, so you cannot write this whole year in a document for the new king, only for the old king, because you can't have two kings. Which year is it? Is it his year or is it his year? So Kamashman, that's what we're teaching you, that no, it doesn't make a difference. You could choose whichever king you want to use. It could be either the last year of that first king or the first year of the new king. Now, the Braisa continued, it said, Meis ben Nisan, if the first king died in Nisan, V'amar achat tacht ben Nisan, and the new king became king in Nisan. So Meinashan lezeh lezeh. So you can count the year for either one. That's pshita, it's pretty obvious. What's the difference, first of all, besides that previous case, which was Adar and Adar, here's Nisan Nisan. So the Gemara says, Ma'ad tema, I would have thought to say, when do we say that one day in the year is considered a year? That's b'seif shana. That at the end of the year. In other words, for example, the king who began his reign in Adar. So that's what we explained in the previous braisa, that his year is over when the Adar ends, and it begins a new year when he starts Nisan. So it's considered like a complete year because it was at the end of the year. So he's starting Aleph Nisan, so that begins a new year. of Betchilas Shana Lo Yamrinan, but in the beginning of the year, we wouldn't say that one day would be considered a year. And therefore, if the first king dies in the beginning of Nisan, you wouldn't write that this is his year for the one that died, because he never really made it through this year. If you're from last year, and then the day later begins a new year, so okay, you start a year number two. But if he died a day into the new year, so that's not counted of his. Kamash will let no. Even there, we'll say one day will be considered a year. You could count the year for that king because he was ultimately at least even one day into this new year. Now the Gemara moves on to the next part of the Braisa that said Meis Ba'adar, if the first one died in the previous year, the end of the year, which is the month of Adar. And the new king only took over in the new year, which is the next month, the month of Nisan. Then the Braisa said, so then you count the first year for the first king, and the second year for the second king. So the Gemara's Peshit is pretty obvious. Each king never made it to the other one's year. The first one died before the next year, and the second one only started in the second year. So that the Gemara says, it's actually necessary, because we're talking about that they had already decided and voted on the new king from Adar. But moreover, Umelech ben Melechu, he's the king, the son of a king. And that is, as Rashi explains, because if it was only that we had decided on him from Adar, it wasn't necessary to teach, because we already taught that from the beginning of that Braisa, where we mentioned that idea that will not be enough to start counting because they had decided on it. But here that we have both, that we have these two criteria, one that they decided, and also that he's this king, the son of a king. So we would have thought maybe there we would count the new kings as a second year, that we would count them even from Adar. Now, the reason would be is because Malucha, kingship, is inherited, as the Pasuk says in Verm Yudzayin, L'mayarach yama mamlachti hu banav, since kingship is inherited, and they already decide in Adar when the first king died that they're going to make his son as the king, so maybe that would be already counted as a year. Kamash Malan, that was the Chiddush that said, no, if he was only inaugurated, he only began his reign in the month of Nisan, in the next year, then that would be year one, and we cannot count the previous year for the new king. Now the Gemara goes back now to explain. We asked, first of all, what were the ramifications of halacha for this, that be reshon lemalachim. So we explained that's for documents, when they're dated, if it's predated or postdated. And now we explained regarding how we are going to exactly define when is that king's year, regarding Nisan as the cutoff line. Now the Gemara asks, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin lemalachim she'ein mayin lemele b'nisan. How do we know what is the source of this halacha in our Mishnah, that we said that Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be Rosh Hashanah Malachim? From where do we know this halacha that we only begin counting on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So that the Gemara brings Shanem, it says a pasuk Malachim Aleph. It says Vayhi b'shemayim shana v'arba meyah shana. It was 480 years. Letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people had left Egypt. B'shana haravis, in the fourth year. B'chodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv, which that's a reference to Ir, as the pasuk itself goes on to explain. That is the second month, as the Gemara later on, Dav Zayin, explains that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the order of the counting of the months. So that makes Ir as the second month. Was Limloich Shleim Al Yisof, when Shleim HaMelech was the king over the Jewish people. Now, as Rashi explains, actually that's going back on the words on Shana Revis in the fourth year, which this apostasy has to be inverted and explained that we're talking about it was in the fourth year that Shleim HaMelech was ruling over the Jewish people in Chodesh Ziv, which is the second month, as the Gemara actually on the next daf brings a pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis, that also shows how it was in the fourth year of his rule. So that's what the fourth year is going on. Now that, the Gemara says, Makish Malchus Shleima, the pasuk equates and compares the rulership of Shleima regarding the counting of his years, Liyitzis Mitzrayim, to the counting of years from when they left Egypt, because this pasuk puts together the counting of the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is 480 years, to the 4 years that Shlomo Melech was king of the Jewish people. To tell you the following halacha, my Yitzias Mitzrayim, just like the leaving of Egypt, that the counting of the years that they counted began me Nisan from Nisan, that's when the Jewish people left Egypt, Af Malchus Shlomo Nisan, so too the counting of the kingship, which is for Malachim, the beginning of the counting of the years for kings, begins from Nisan, and that's the source for the halacha in our Mishnah, how we know that the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim is from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But now the Gemara asked on this source, but Yitzias Mitzrayim gufa menalim d'minisan minin. How do we know that the counting of the years when they left from Egypt begins in Nisan? Dima mitrisha meninan. How do we know? Maybe we count from Tishri, and that is, although we know the Jewish people left Egypt in Nisan, and that's the Yom Tov of Pesach, However, maybe when it got to Tishrei, then it was already called year number two from when they left Egypt. And the reason is because we know that Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years that we count according to when the world was created. So maybe the leaving of Egypt is the same thing. So if you're comparing Shleim HaMelech, in other words, Malachim, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe actually it is Tishrei and not Nisan, because maybe Yetzias Mitzrayim itself was Tishrei, and that's what we're comparing Malachim to. Another Gemara says, Lo Yisrael Gadaydach. You cannot entertain that we count the years of when they left from Egypt from Tishrei, and rather must be from Nisan, and therefore when we're comparing Malachim to that, must be Nisan too. And the reason is, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, V'yal Aharon HaKoyin El Hor-Har, the Aharon HaKoyin went up to Hor-Har, the mountain of Hor-Har, Al Pi Hashem, based on the word of Hashem, V'yom Hashem B'shnas HaRbam Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and there he died in the 40th year for when the Jewish people had left Egypt, B'chodesh HaChamishi, in the fifth month, which is a reference to the Chodesh of Av, B'echel HaChodesh, in the first of the month. Now, there's a different pasuk in the Varm that says, V'hi bar bamshon, it was in the 40th year when the Jewish people left, B'ashtei Asur Chodesh, in the 11th month, which is a reference to the month of Shvat, B'echel HaChodesh, in the first of the month, Dibur Moshe B'gayma, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Now, we contrast these two pesukim. Midikoi Ba'av, from the fact that the first pasuk is talking about Av, when Aaron HaKohen had passed away. The Karli Shnas Arbaim, and it calls it the 40th year. Now, the next pasuk, V'koi B'Shvat, is talking about Shvat. The Karli Shnas Arbaim, and it still calls it the 40th year. So Mechlal, from that you could infer the Rosh Hashanah Lav Tishrei must be that Tishrei is not the Rosh Hashanah, because if Tishrei was the beginning of the new year from counting from when they left Egypt, then Shvat wouldn't be still in the 40th year. Shvat would be the 41st year, because once you pass Tishrei, you begin a new year. So obviously, from the fact that even still in Shvat, it was still being called the 40th year, must be that Nisan is the new year for when we count from Egypt and not Tishrei, and therefore that's the same for Malachim, because the pasuk equates the two of them. Now, that the Gemara asks on this answer. Bishlam Heyach, it's very well understood the first pasuk that we brought down, which spoke about Aaron's death on Har-Har, which was speaking about the month of Av, Mefarish L'tzis Mitzrayim, there explicitly it says that it was the 40th year from when they left Egypt. But Elahai, but how do you know, regarding the second Pasuk, which was talking about Shvat, Mimaydi L'tzis Mitzrayim, how do you know that it's the 40th year from when they left Egypt? Dimalak Kamas HaMishkan, it doesn't say the 40th year of what? Maybe it was the 40th year of when they built the Mishkan, which was in the second year. And therefore, if we're saying it's the 40th year from when the second year from when they left Egypt, that would make it the 41st year from when they left Egypt. And therefore, maybe it actually is Tishrei, that's the Rosh Hashanah for the counting of when they left Egypt. And Shvat is not the 40th year from then, it's actually the 41st year, because it's the 40th year from when they made the Mishkan. Another thing Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Kedam Rav Papa, like Rav Papa says later on, he says, Shnas Esrim, Shnas Esrim Gzeir Shav. In one place it says the 20th year, another place it says the 20th year, to make Gzeir Shav between the two of them and say that they're the same. So Hachinam here also will do the same thing. Shnas Abom, Shnas Abom, Gzeir Shav. Here it says the 40th year, and here it says the 40th year, to make Gzeir Shav, to equate them, to say Makan, just like over here in the first pasuk when it talks about Aaron HaKohen dying. In the month of Av, it was the 40th year, Litzis Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt. Avkan, also over here in the second pasuk when it's talking about Shvat, was also Litzis Mitzrayim, was when they left from Egypt, and therefore it must be that Nisan is, because if Tishrei would have been, it wouldn't have been the 40th year from left Egypt, it would have been the 41st year. But the Gemara still asks on this source, because how do you know that the story of Av came first, and therefore you're saying Shvat came later, because you're assuming that we're starting in Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, El Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, Shvat. So Shvat comes after, and still we're calling it the 40th year. Must be Tishrei is not the cutoff, because then it would have been the 41st. It must be that it's Nisan. But how do you know that Av came first in story? Dilma Maisa de Shvat Kadim. Maybe the story with Shvat came first, and therefore, maybe Tishrei actually is the cutoff. Now, since Tishrei beforehand began the 40th year, so you go Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, Shvat, Adar Nisan Tammuz Av. So actually, the story of Av was in the 40th year, but that was coming after. Aaron HaKohen died after that story of Shvat. And therefore, that's why Shvat and Av are both in the 40th year, because actually we're having Shvat come first, because Tishrei is the beginning of the year of the countings. So that's why they're both in the 40th year. How do you know that it's Nisan? Because you're having Av coming first. Maybe Shvat came first, because Tishrei is when we begin. And that Gemara says, Lo yisal gataytich. It's not possible to say that that pasuk that's so much Shvat came before Av, where Aaron HaKohen had died, and then to be able to say that actually the year begins in Tishrei. And therefore, since it can't be like that, actually that Av comes first, and if Av's coming first and Shvat's coming after, and still we're counting in the 40th year, must be it's Nisan, not Tishrei. How do we know this? Because it says in that pasuk in the Varm, the next pasuk after that, which is talking about the month of Shvat, it says, Achri HaKoyse Sichem, that Moshe Rabbeinu came and he said this thing, after they killed the people of Sichem. Now, V'chinach Nafshi Da Aaron, when Aaron HaKoyen died, which was in Av, Akate HaVesichem Kayim, Sichem was still around. And if Sichem was still around, must be that the story in Shvat happened after the story that happened in Av. And that's how we know that it must be Nisan. Just like it says in the Pasuk, we continue on top of Gimel and Aleph, it says, Pasuk in Midbar, the Yishma HaKanani Melech Arad, that the Kanani, the king of Arad, heard this. Now, and therefore they came to fight with the Jewish people. So the question is, Mash Mua Shama, what is this that he heard that he came to fight with the Jewish people? So the drush is, Shama Shemesa Aaron, he heard that Aaron HaKohen had passed away. V'nistal Kanani covered, and then the clouds of glory which were there in the Schus of Aaron, who were protecting the Jewish people, now that he passed away, they were removed. And so they thought that, oh, now we're allowed to go ahead and wage war with the Jewish people. They don't have the protection of it. They're not in their covenant anymore. Now, behind the chsiv, this is what says the pasuk in Bamidbar, Vayiru kol ha'eda kigava aharon. Now, the literal translation is that the entire assembly saw that Aaron HaKohen passed away. But Va'amar Rebavo expounds the pasuk, and he learns, Al tikra vayiru, don't read it that they saw, ela vayera'u, rather that they were seen, which means that they were revealed. And the reason why they were revealed is because there were no man on their cover, because Kigava Aaron. And that is Kidir Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish interprets that Kigava is not in this context that when Aharon, rather it's because. It's explaining what happened before, and that is the Jewish people were revealed because Aaron had died. Now, although in the literal translation it's that they saw that he had died or when he had died, but here it's saying that they were seen because he died. Like Rish Lakish says, that actually the word ki is meshamish bedal l'shainis. It can be utilized in the Pesukim in four different interpretations. Sometimes it's defined as e, which means if. Sometimes it's defined as dilma, which is maybe. Sometimes it's defined as ella, which means only or but, which means say that it comes to contradict or qualify what was said beforehand. And sometimes it's defined as daha, as because, which in this context is actually what the Pasuk is saying. It's saying that they were visible because Aaron HaKohen had passed away. Now, since we see that Aaron HaKohen passed away before the people of Sichem were destroyed, and therefore it can't be that that happened first, and therefore must be that Av was before Shvat, and again, if Av's come before Shvat and they're both being counted in the 40th year, must be the cutoff as Nisan, not Tishrei. But the Gemara asks on the answer we just gave, but me dummy, how can you compare the Pasuk that we bring as a proof to say that the people of Sichem were killed after Aharon HaKohen had died, but Hasim Kenan, Hacha Sichem, what are you comparing? The Pasuk you're bringing to show that the people of Sichem were still around when Aharon HaKohen had died, and therefore proving that had happened first, that Av came before Shvat, but that Pasuk is talking about people of Kenan. They were still around, but maybe the people of Sichem were already killed, and therefore maybe Shvat was first, and Av happened later, and maybe the cutoff is Tishrei. I think Mar says no, because Tana, we learn the Braisa, who Sichem, who Arad, who Kanan, they're all the same people. Now, Sichem, the reason why they were called Sichem, is Shadoim Elisyach Bamidbar. He's compared to a foal, the son of a horse, that of the desert type. Kanan, the reason why it's called Kanan, Al-Shem Achus, based on his kingdom, which was called from Eretz Kanan. Umashmayim, what was his name? Arad Shemay, that was his name, but really it's all reference to the same person. Ikadami, there's also say a different version why they all have this three names of one type, which is Arad Shadayma La'arid Bamidbar, was called Arad because it's similar to a wild donkey that roams in the desert. Kanan Hashem Achuzai, and Kanan was called because based on his kingdom. Umashmai, what was his name? Sichen Shmai, that was his name, but really they're all referenced. Kanan and Sichen are all the same thing. However, one thing that we see is that it's not possible, as the Gemara had asked, to say that the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, which we compare to Yitzis Mitzrayim, should be Tishrei, because if it was Tishrei, then it wouldn't be possible, as the Pasuk says, because it's happening that Sichin was still alive when Aaron HaKohen had passed away. And therefore it comes out that the story of Av happened before Shvat, and yet still calling in the 40th year, must be that Nisan Zekarov and not Tishrei, and that's why when we're comparing Yitzis Mitzrayim to the Malachim, it must be that we're counting from when they actually left Egypt, which is Nisan, and that's how we know that Rosh Hashanah Malachim is also going to be from the first of Nisan.